Well, over to continually unfolding events over in the US, where Donald Trump now faces the prospect of a bitter impeachment trial in the US Senate. There is no schedule yet for when the House will present the article of impeachment to the Senate for trial, although one thing that is certain is the shadow this will no doubt cast over the earliest days of Joe Biden's presidency. The Senate will resume on the eve of the presidential inauguration on January 20th, which will install Biden as the 46th president of the United States and Kamala Harris as his vice president, the first female to hold this position. Trump was acquitted at his first impeachment trial in the Senate early last year after being charged with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. He is now being charged with incitement of insurrection over last week's deadly storming of the US Capitol. Joining us this morning is our US correspondent and friend of the Daily, Professor Ed Blakely. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tina. A sad morning.
A sad, very, very much so. An impeachment trial would entangle the urgency of Biden's efforts to have his cabinet choices confirmed by the Senate and fire up his agenda to tackle the pandemic as well as the resulting economic crisis. What are your thoughts around an impeachment trial and how it could affect the Biden-Harris administration?
Well, I don't think the trial this time will be the same as the trial last time, which took weeks. What McConnell, I believe, was thinking is this might be a two-day trial and a subsequent vote. So this is the U.S. Congress, the full Congress, lower house, and Senate walking and chewing gum. Confirming these people for cabinet positions is a lengthy process, even when the confirmation is assured, because every member of the committee gets asked questions, background checks are made, and so on. So that's about a month-long process. At the same time, they could do the impeachment.
Right. So, as you said, walking and chewing gum at the same time. The New York City, just pivoting a little bit, the New York City Police Department is sending 200 officers to Washington, D.C. to assist with security on Inauguration Day following the attack on the Capitol. Why were police so underprepared for what happened in the first place last week? It had been clear to many for some time what Trump was inciting his followers to do.
That is a hard one, Tina. It's very hard to imagine how that could have happened, given all of the things that we knew, even I knew from here, that things weren't going well in this case. And there are people out there who were saying they were going to disrupt these proceedings. It was open. It was on the internet. So how this happened is anybody's guess. But there are several speculations. One of them is that there were members of the House who were involved in this attempted coup. The member from Arizona being the head of this. And they had even rehearsed this a day or two before. Also, there are co-conspirators within the Capitol Police. That lines up. But what doesn't line up is the potential of not using the information that we had on these issues. That just doesn't line up at all, given the fact that the FBI has a network of counterterrorism people available and a network of informants. It doesn't make much sense. The only thing that makes a little bit of sense is the Trump administration was still in charge. And they did precious little to thwart these efforts.
Do you think there could be repercussions for those sitting in Congress that might have been aware of what was coming or might have been co-conspirators in this?
Yes. An investigation is already underway. If they are formally charged, they don't even have to be convicted to be thrown out of the lower house. That's by a simple vote of the members of the House. And I suppose a lot of Republicans would be on side on that.
It's been reported by various White House staffers that Trump is currently holed up in the White House at present in self-pity mode. An advisor was quoted as saying that he's by himself, not a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. Whenever that happens, he goes to his worst instincts. He's basically got 5 days left in office, and while he no longer has access to spreading his messaging through social media, he does extraordinarily have access still to the nuclear codes. Are there any concerns about what he might do in his final days as president of the United States?
No, I don't think that's a problem. I had access to the nuclear codes when I was in the Air Force and I was in military intelligence and missiles. Those codes are changed more than once a day. The president would have to be involved in knowing how the codes were changed. There's a Marine stationed outside of his office who has those codes. And that Marine would know if there was a real attack, because the codes come in two parts. One attack, the other's a drill. So you can't manufacture an attack or a drill. And it has to be verified by three parties. One of them in the Joint Chiefs of Staff, another in the Defense Department, and the third in the White House, beyond the attack routes identification and tracking. So that's very unlikely.
And what about, are there any other concerns about?
Well, I think there are two other concerns I have. Mm-hmm. One of them is that Trump will give pardons to the demonstrators because these are federal crimes. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the FBI and the DC police are covering that by issuing indictments under Washington, D.C. law. The Washington, D.C. law doesn't have the penalties that the federal law has. The other issue is he might try to do some pardons that really are horrific, like a pardoning of his entire family well into the future, making them almost exempt from the law as the civil, soldiers were, the Southern soldiers were given after the end of the Civil War. A third is he might leave the country and take with him vital information before this is all over. But here's what I think is going through his mind right now, as little of that mind as I can understand. Can I get Pence to pardon me, and I also get within that pardon a statement that I will never seek public office again, then that would make the necessity for this impeachment null and void. The Republicans would say, we got rid of him. The Democrats would say, we don't have to go through this. And Joe Biden could say, I can get on with healing the country. That seems to be quite likely.
Right.
Pence will not give him a pardon for nothing. And the quid pro quo here is, within the pardon statement, you can put conditions. And the condition would be he could never seek public office. And he could walk out and say, they put me in a corner, but I can still run my troops.
So that is quite concerning. I mean, there are pros and cons to that outcome. Can he still be, he might be able to be pardoned for those federal offences, but he can still be tried for state offences. Isn't that correct?
Yes, that's true. That's right. True. Okay. Nothing's going to make that go away. Mm-hmm. But if he can make this go away, he's in much better shape. What I thought you'd say is, could he still and receive his presidential pension and other accoutrements?
Well, that was going to be my next question.
I think this would allow him to do that for some period or some reduced amount. And the reason for that is he needs to be protected too. He's riled up an awful lot of people.
He's reportedly unhappy that a number of members of his inner circle have failed to defend him following last week's deadly attacks. So those reportedly on the outs most recently this week are his press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, his son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and most interestingly, his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, whose $20,000 a day legal fees he's refusing to pay. Could this be the end of the Giuliani-Trump alliance? And I mean, who is really left in the inner circle?
Melania.
Okay.
She's an enabler. She has a lot to lose if he has a lot to lose.
Well, could this be, I mean, this could mean a rift. This could mean a rift. If Jared Kushner's on the outs, presumably that could mean Ivanka is as well.
Ivanka's saving her own hide. She has ambitions. She's hoping for that pardon so she can run for public office. But Melania has an awful lot to lose because that income stream will dwindle to almost nothing. And if he's not seeking public office, he cannot take funds meant for a public office seeker. So the Trump campaign could not get those monies anymore. What do you do then?
Oh, very interesting times. Look, lastly, in the last few moments, Joe Biden has revealed a $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief plan. The plan seeks to send Americans $1,400 checks in direct relief, increase the federal minimum wage to $15 from $7.25 an hour, and provide schools with $130 billion in aid to help them reopen. What do you think the likelihood of this package getting through is?
It won't get through in that form.
No, so there will be compromises.
I think the $1,600 or whatever is, that will get through. But I think the minimum wage will not. There are a lot of Democrats who will not vote for an increase in the minimum wage, who are in states like Arizona and places like this, where there's a lot of Hispanic workforce, and they will go crazy. I think what will happen is the minimum wage will be increased in stages. Maybe it'll take 2 years to get it to that amount, because in a crippling economy, paying high wages doesn't make any sense at all. And although I'm very much for a minimum wage increase, not now.
Right. Well, look, Professor Ed Blakely, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. And there's going to be a lot to talk about. I feared it would all go away, but I think there's going to be a lot to talk about for the next 4 years.
Well, that's good, because I enjoy talking with you, Ed. So
news
for us. that was Professor Ed Blakely talking to us about the final days of Donald Trump's presidency. I can't believe we're already at the end of it 4 years later. For more from Ed, you can subscribe in your favorite podcast app to US of Ed, a US politics podcast he hosts with The Daily's Sean Britton.